Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Buck Brief. Tim Murtaugh joins us on this episode. He was the communications director for the Trump 2020 campaign. He's got a new book out we're going to discuss, as well as Trump 2024 prospects. The book is Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump campaign. Let's start with the title, actually. I'm writing a book myself right now, and titles have put me into title hell. Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. What do you mean? How'd you come up with this? What's the book about?
Well, the book is about two things, really. It's about politics, and there's a whole lot of stories on the Trump 2020 campaign that haven't been published or written about before. But it was also to tell the story of my decades-long struggle to beat alcohol, which I did in May of 2015. And I thought that when I was in rehab, there was plenty of times. I went to rehab five times, by the way. And I spent a lot of time in the bookstore, and I just devoured the books that were written by people who were telling their own stories about how they made it through their battles with addiction. You know, they were like medical textbooks and things that talk about what it does to your body and all that. But I liked the people's personal stories better. And I thought they really helped me. And I thought if I ever write a book about my experiences, that's what I want to tell, what I went through, because those kind of books helped me. And I thought if somebody picked up this book, and this is it, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It. If somebody picked up this book and flipped through it for 10 minutes, and in those 10 minutes didn't take a drink, then it was worth writing. And to be honest with you, I had the title in my mind for a long time, because that phrase, swing hard in case you hit it, is something that my father used to say to me when I would leave the house to go to baseball practice every day. I came from a baseball family. My grandfather was manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates for 15 years and won the World Series twice. And my dad played AAA baseball. And so when we went out to, when I was going to leave the house, he'd say, swing hard in case you hit it. And he's trying to be funny, you know, but if you think about it, that's actually really a pretty good philosophy for life, because if you're engaged in any kind of activity and you're making an effort to do something, you might as well put a lot of effort into it, because if you succeed, your success will be greater if you really tried, as opposed to just so sort of going through the motions. So swing hard in case you hit it. There you have it.
When you're going into rehab the first time, the second time, I think people can, even if they've never struggled with addiction themselves, understand what the mentality would be like at some level, right? Like, I'm going to get this problem fixed and addressed. You said you've been five times. How did you, why did it work the fifth time is really what I want to know. Like, what finally changed? What finally happened? How did you get clean or sober?
Well, I, you know, each time I went, and I went to the same place twice and then another, a few other places one time each. And they were all good. And I learned things. You learn good habits. You learn different ways to organize your thinking. You learn different motivations. You learn little tricks, all kinds of stuff. You learn about the biology of addiction and all that stuff. And so every bit of it helped. But there wasn't one time at rehab for me that just clicked. You know, everybody's different. Some people get it the first time. Some people never need rehab. Some people say, you know what, I better quit drinking. And they just do, right? But everybody comes to it their own way. And the way that I don't recommend the way that I went about it, as a matter of fact, because, you know, while rehab helped, that's not what got me to stay sober. Every time I went to rehab, I relapsed, not terribly long afterwards. What really got me was I was on probation for my second of two DUIs. I had served 10 days in jail for this second DUI, but I still had 80 days of jail time suspended hanging over my head, and I was on probation for 3 years. As long as I kept my nose clean, I never had to worry about those 80 days. Well, being a raging alcoholic, while I was on probation on May 16th, 2015, I went out and got drunk. And as happened frequently with me, or frequently enough anyway, I got popped for a drunken public or public intoxication, something of that nature, a lesser alcohol offense, but still an alcohol offense. And if I had been convicted of that, it would have triggered that I would have to serve the 80 days of suspended time that I were still hanging over my head. And so I was faced with going to jail basically for 3 months. And if that had happened, I would have lost. I was working on Capitol Hill at the time for a congressman named Lou Barletta, who was one of the great heroes of my story. Lou should have fired me many times and never did, and saw me through rehab a couple times and all that stuff. He never gave up on me, and I love Lou Barletta. I would have lost that job if I'd gone to three months, but I would have lost my career. My brand new wife was fed up with me at that point already. My family was about sick of me. It would have been the loss of everything, personal and professional. And so I got some good advice and I went to court. Before I went to court, I had gotten the alcohol thing put back on my car, the ignition interlock device. I had done about 100 hours of community service at an animal shelter. I had gone to many, many, many dozens of AA meetings. And I had been to an outpatient rehab facility again, yet another, but that would make it the sixth, rehab, actually, one outpatient and five inpatient. And the judge said, and the prosecutor agreed, listen, keep your nose clean. We will not prosecute you on this more minor charge. Keep your nose clean and don't get in trouble for the rest of your probation. And we don't want to ever see you again. And I never looked back. I never took another drink. And that's my sober date, May 16th, 2015. So for me, I needed to be threatened with the loss of everything and going to jail for an extended period of time, rehab or anything else. Nothing else worked. It was straight up fear. That's what did it for me.
For anyone who's listening or watching, who themselves or a loved one is going through alcohol addiction right now, just what can you offer as perspective to let them know that they can get through to the other side as you have?
Well, I'm not evangelical really necessarily about AA. It does so many great things, and I don't want to push it on anybody else, but we learn so much in AA about that. And the fact is that there is a way out. There is always a way out. Not every path is the same. And this book, my book that I wrote, Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, it is not a how-to guide. It's just my version of what got me through it. Right. And I would say that the best thing I can tell you is that in the what's called the big book, in the Alcohol Anonymous book, there's a list of promises. If you get sober, these things will happen to you in life. And they're just different benchmarks, really, of how your life will improve. And the fact is, all those things are true. Your job will get better. Your finances will get better. Your relationships will get better. Your attitude will get better. Your health will get better, both, you know, physical and mental. The fact is, there is a way out. You can stop. And your life will get better, no matter how bad it seems. There's always a way out. And every path is different. No one takes the same way out. And so this is the half of the, it's basically half of the book is my alcoholic journey to sobriety. And the other half is basically my promises, what came true for me. It's my life in politics, most of it on the 2020 presidential campaign, working for President Trump. If I had not gotten sober, that part would not have been possible.
And I want to talk to you about the redemption component of the story here, or in the case of your title, Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump campaign. We'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, I am a big Second Amendment believer, everyone. As you know, I own a lot of firearms. I train with them. I deployed with firearms overseas for my country. I appreciate the sport of shooting, the fun of it. I go on the weekends, do some tactical training. So all around, I'm a Second Amendment guy. And this is why I think you need to check out Bear Creek Arsenal. I'll be honest with you. A lot of people haven't heard of Bear Creek Arsenal, and you really need to, because if you're talking about high-end firearms with precision craftsmanship that comes at an unbelievably competitive price, nothing's going to beat Bear Creek Arsenal. I've got two of their guns here at home. They're phenomenal. They work so well out at the range for me. I've already made my modifications to my AR to sort of customize it a bit for me. You will not believe how high quality Bear Creek Arsenal firearms are and what the prices are. Once you see, there's a lot of really expensive ARs out there. I've got one of the most expensive ARs you can possibly have. Bear Creek Arsenal is just as good, fraction of the price. They offer a wide range of premium calibers and all kinds of great gear too. Go check out bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code for 10% off your first order. bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code, 10% off your first order. All right, the Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign, part two of this interview, which focuses on the Trump campaign. Tim, You had a shot at redemption. How did it go? What did you learn? And we'll talk about where we think it's going for 2024.
Well, I got to tell you, the whole thing was really eye opening. I started on the Trump campaign, the 2020 campaign, in February of 2019. So I lasted beyond. I don't know if you know this. It was covered pretty extensively in the news. The campaign really didn't end on Election Day 2020. It went beyond. So I actually worked on the campaign for 24 months, two full years. And I really wasn't ready to, I mean, I knew what the national media was all about, but I had never worked on a presidential campaign before. And I guess their brazen partisanship on the part of many of them was really what caught me by surprise. I mean, I knew that they were biased, and I knew that they wrote things through the prism. They view issues from the left, from the left's perspective, and they always adopt the left's framing on different things. I get that. But there are so many of them that just wear the jersey for the Democratic Party. They're not just liberals or leftists. They're active partisan Democrats. And I guess I just wasn't ready for, you know, how viciously opposed and how angry President Trump made them. And so, you know, every day was just an uphill slog fighting against, you know, the great torrent of negative press. I mean, I bet you our negative press total was up. I bet you 90% of the stories were negative, you know. And I think a lot, and I know that a lot of reporters, when they heard I was writing a book about something that's half about my experiences on the Trump campaign, you know, they thought, oh, here comes another one. Because in the Trump era, a lot of the books that have been written are tell-alls, and they try to get clicks and sell copies by bashing Donald Trump. And that's not what this is. Working for President Trump on the 2020 campaign as his communications director is the highest honor of my professional career. And I'm very grateful for President Trump for giving me a chance. He knew about my record of alcoholism, and he likes a good redemption story, likes a good comeback story. And so, I mean, into that, I guess the first eye-opening thing was really just how the media wanted to be active participants and take sides. And that's what we did. And that's what I say this to my friends jokingly all the time. I don't know how Republicans ever get elected to anything, anywhere, with the media like it is. You know, I mean, the way you guys are, I mean, I know a lot of people turn to folks like you just for some honesty and some truth from time to time, because they're sure not getting it from the mainstream.
I appreciate that. I mean, in terms of platforms, as you well know, we're outnumbered 10 to 1, just bodies in left-wing newsrooms and on TV channels and all the rest of it to what we have. It's you know, probably more than 10 to 1, really. And it is remarkable. I think that we just should assume that there is a several point advantage baked into every national election because of the slant of the media, right? I mean, if there was any attempt at honest coverage, Republicans would have a much easier time. But in terms of the what I would call the election machinery, you know, the apparatus of the election, there were a lot of, let's just say, and we don't want to get kicked off of YouTube for the fourth time here. So let's just say that there were concerns over how some things went in 2020. Let's, again, because we don't want to get kicked off again from the platform entirely. Let's assume that we're just looking at 2024. With what you learned from being on that 2020 campaign, what has to happen this time for Trump to end up in the Oval Office in January of 25?
Okay, well, without, you know, delving into any of those things that are in the category of stuff that YouTube doesn't like to have on
yes.
the platform, right? I read you. I understand what you're saying. I think there needs to be, and I understand the way the Republican base, the Trump base, I guess you would call it, the way our voters look at the world, and they don't trust the electoral system, and I get that. And a lot of them in states where things like universal mail-in voting is permitted, like let's say Pennsylvania, the law is now that you can vote by mail for, you know, no excuse mail-in voting. A lot of our voters are still very skeptical of it, and they won't participate in things like that. And early voting, they also, a lot of people say, oh, I like to vote on election day, and that's fine. But I think we're in places where early voting is permitted, where universal mail is permitted, where ballot harvesting, it's another thing that our people really hate. And I agree, it is a ripe area for fraud. Ballot harvesting is there's no controls over who's gathering these ballots and what they're doing with them. I get it. But where it's legal, our people have to be able to take advantage of what the opportunities are under the law, because you know the Democrats are doing it. They are going to do it. And we can't just forfeit part of the battlefield because we are ethically opposed to some form of voting that is legal in that particular state. You've got to do it if it's legal, because the other side's going to. And I think that's, you know, I know we're going to have our lawyers and they're going to be looking out and fighting back. Every time, the Democrats are always in court trying to loosen controls and loosen safety measures, loosen security of elections. That's what this guy, Mark Elias, that's what he does for a living. He's gotten very rich undercutting election security. Our lawyers have to be in court fighting that every time. And so, you know, the Democrats, they win the war, the messaging war, because Mark Elias is in court trying to actually loosen election security. But somehow he's got this mantle of the great election defender because the media are on his side. But what he's trying to do is make it easier for people to not obey the rules, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm just saying, we got to follow the law. And where things are permissible under the law, you got to do them. I understand your ethical opposition to it, but you got to do it because they're gonna.
Tim Murtaugh, swing hard in case you hit it. Tim, give me 1 second. We'll have a closing thought for you here. But who is there for the heroes or the families that are left behind when a service member, for our heroes rather, or their families, when a service member is left behind or a first responder dies or severely injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, and Smart Home and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their in-the-line-of-duty programs, all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America in so many ways. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in K through 12th grade to help our nation's vow to never forget. 95 cents of every dollar you donate goes to Tunnel to Towers programs. Never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Tim, just this one for you. I promise we'll probably only revisit this if you're right. So don't worry, because, you know, people will forget. But if you're right, we'll have you back. Say, hey, you were right. Does Trump win? Do we win the Senate? Do we win the House? What are your predictions on the big three?
Listen, I think if the element answered them, this is going to be kind of a cop out. If the election were today, Trump wins. And I think we increase the majority in the House. And I think we take control of the Senate. There, we have no idea what's going to happen between now and Election Day. Listen, the way my book opens, it was December of 2019 when Trump was impeached the first time. Right. And we thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be the defining issue of the campaign, this impeachment. Well, we didn't know anything about COVID. We didn't know there was going to be two different Supreme Court vacancies. We didn't know all kinds of things. We didn't know any of those things were going to happen. We didn't know the whole country, the whole world was going to be shut down by a pandemic. None of those things were knowable. And so we just don't know what's going to happen. If things are fair and the election amounts to a side-by-side comparison of the Trump presidency and the Biden presidency, then President Trump wins again and President Trump will be the president. I'm still betting that it's a coin flip race. There's going to be 3-4 states separated by maybe 10,000, 20,000 votes in each of those states, just like 2016, just like 2020. I think it's going to be a razor thin, coin flip election. And I do think President Trump's going to come out on top. It is going to be really close and it's going to be really painful getting there. I can tell you that much.
Tim Murtaugh, swing hard in case you hit it. Good luck to you, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, Buck.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye. He needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.